coming up on TMS, then you can ex-wife!
Ah, shoot, another UFO.
Don't make me say your zip code.
Tap dad asteroid.
Some like it not.
An eel slapping good time.
You lying sack of turd.
This website is useless. Better check it out.
Are dolphins fish? Because I seriously, like, wanted to know.
99 red balloons floating in the U.S. sky.
Oh. The Salem cat trials.
Criminally negligent Mrs. Doubtfire.
Come to Vegas for a moment of clarity.
Heavy metal Lego with Bill.
Fly to the hills with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
As the first volunteer for the Man Dolphin Super Soldier Project, I gave my DNA for my country. I now have the strength and intelligence of a dolphin.
The Morning Stream. I think there was something in that coffee.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Tuesday, February 14th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett.
Hello.
Hi.
It is. Hi. Both of those things.
Verifiable facts here.
Verifiable facts. A blue check mark on both of those items without paying $8.
Hey, by the way, we haven't talked about it. How you feel about all these UFOs getting shot down? How you feel about that?
I won't somebody stand up for the UFOs?
Yeah. Will someone please speak for these weird unidentified flying objects, please?
Yeah. No, I feel like if there's something in the sky that we can't claim, identify, or bring down peacefully. That's the problem. Maybe we should be trying to bring them down peacefully. I don't know how you do it. You need a big net, right? Catch the stuff in a net, bust the balloon.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we can tell that they're not, you know, that it's not from another planet, because that'd be a bummer, right? If like, oh, we come to Earth with words of peace, and we want to show you our technology and share with you the things we've learned over our vast millennia of existence in our universe. Oh, no, they're shooting us. All right, bye.
Yeah. And also, you know, if you blow them up before they have their chance to show you how peaceful they are, then it's our fault.
Exactly.
Then what do we do? So, yeah, I don't know, man. Here's what I know, okay? I'm going to make a shocking statement here for everybody.
Okay, all right.
It's not aliens.
No.
It never was aliens, and it never will be aliens. There, I've said it, all right?
Oh, come on. Never will be? That's a big, bold statement.
Not in our lifetime. It ain't happening, I'm telling you right now. There's no way. Okay, first of all, if an alien came here, it wouldn't just be a relatively small object 30,000 feet in the air slowly moving over Canada, okay? There'll never be that. It'll be something else. Just cause,
because aliens always have to be humanoid shaped and our size.
Okay,
and
so possible, yes. Probable, no.
Okay, right? I'll work with you on the probable.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of probable versus possible. I just this idea that there is suddenly a huge influx of aliens and we should all be terrified is ridiculous. Let me tell you the place they should have done it. If you're an alien and you really want to make a splash, here's where you do it. You do it on the Super Bowl because, A, it's a big open hole, all right? You got a big dome with a hole in it. It's Arizona. It's nice and clear. You're not going to have to deal with any weather
this
stuff.
This year it was, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, this year it was. And then it's the most watched thing on television at the moment worldwide.
And aliens understand television and ratings.
100%.
I know we had a president that was very focused on ratings, but our aliens...
Aliens
are going to be as
again probability versus possibility. You never know,
right? The Nielsen statistics just came out. Super Bowl is the place we should make our debut.
I'm just saying, if they want to make the biggest stink and really wreck us, that's where you do it. And they didn't do it. And I'm telling you, here's why I don't like UFO stuff. Same reason I don't like Bigfoot crap.
Yeah.
It's always some blurry off in the distance bullshit. It's never, ever anything but that. So it's and plus those people always end up admitting they did it later on. They're always like, I was dressed in a gorilla suit.
The Loch Ness Monster dude. And
yeah.
Yeah.
It's always
now,
bull crap.
that stuff has gone down considerably as phone technology or as camera technology has gotten better and more available to us on our phones and stuff. You notice how we don't get the blurry UFO shots as much anymore. And I think it's because it's too easy to disprove now with like, oh, dang it, I got a really clear picture and it's obviously a weather balloon.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, dang, these megapixels. It's blowing my whole UFO theory.
There it is. I see. Look. That, and that will keep happening, right? The better we are at surveilling. Also, we're getting a little too good at faking things, too. So it'll have the opposite effect for some people who are gullible and stupid. But here's what I think will end up happening with aliens. I'm willing to today, in this economy, I'm willing to put $1,000 down that in our lifetime, there will be no proof of aliens. You and I are going to die before any of that ever happens.
Okay, so it's our lifetime, yours and mine, not
me and you.
Everyone listening.
Yeah, okay. Me and you. All right. You know what?
You got people in the audience.
I'll even put that $1,000 down on my kids' lifetimes because they can handle that money after I'm gone, and that $1,000 will appreciate over time because of inflation. So it could be a couple of grand, 10 grand. I don't know what it'll be by the time we get an alien, but it's yours to have if I'm wrong. Okay, everybody.
Yeah.
You can have it.
But see, you got to have somebody who's going to administer that bet when you die because, oh, Scott died. Scott won the bet, but somebody needs to collect it because you're dead.
Yeah, exactly. Carter, she's in the chat. You're my officiator of the $1,000 growth bond thing. You can put it in the bank, let it accrue some interest, whatever you want to do.
Track of everybody who took the bet, collect their PayPal or Venmo information because those will still be around. And
Yeah. But all these people screaming end times right now, man, I need to get off Twitter.
Oh, are there people screaming end times?
Oh, this of course. There always is when there's stuff like this.
I've launched the Twitter app to reply to somebody because I get the notifications if somebody uses my name specifically. I'm not looking for anything on Twitter right now. I'm off it.
Oh, you know what? Let me tell you something. You are the smart one here. I need to be like you. I need to get off that shit, not look there anymore. I like communicating with fans, which is primarily my use case. But once in a while, someone will say, did you see that Rihanna had a five-tipped upside-down star pentagram on her belt? And she was wearing all red? She was of the devil. Shut up. I can't do it anymore. I'm done.
Really?
Can't
do they know who they're talking? Like when they send you stuff like that, because it's somebody who's using at Scott Johnson, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Who does that? Do they even know who they're talking to? Are they thinking, wow, Scott's totally going to agree with me on this because he's so totally into satanic symbology that he'll absolutely back me up.
Here's what I think happens. They hear me on the show talking about it like we are now, and they just are trying to poke me.
They want their
moment.
15 minutes. Oh, that's right. Today I was supposed to satisfy everybody's degradation kink. So you're all stupid.
Yeah, you're all lame. Ah, did I get it?
You're all lame. Y'all suck, and your penises are very small.
I'm gonna use. So what I've done in the, I'm gonna do less of the socials and more of the down, dirty, gritty, old fashioned socials like we used to do on forums. I'm gonna use Discord. Yeah. Like I've never used it before. I already have in the last few days.
Yeah,
get in there, talking to you guys on the ground. If one of you tells me aliens are real, well, whatever. I'll move on to the next one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Discord. I like the community in Discord is a really good community. It's a good place. It's less of the cesspool that all of Twitter has become. And like I said, I'll say, oh, somebody just sent me and maybe the film set crew, I don't know, just as an example, a text about, I don't know, let's say just as an example, Iron Eagle making a statement that I was able to disprove, you know, just as an example.
Just an example. Not, you're just making that one up as an example. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't see this at all, this example you're bringing.
No, definitely not.
I wasn't copied on that.
I may have been a little snarky. I may have started my degradation kink a little early. Did that a little bit yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, I saw that one and I was like, oh, he's a little salty today. There's a little salt coming out of Brian over there. Yeah.
You know what? It's the way that it was phrased. Like, here's the thing. If you come at us and say, wait, guys, wasn't the, when he was speaking to Chappie and Chappie wasn't hearing him, wasn't it because he was listening to Chappie's tape? Instead of, guys, like, I can't believe, like, I haven't watched this movie in 15 years, guys, and I can't believe you didn't figure out that it was from the cassette tape that Chappie was talking to him.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It was all
crying,
about...
crying laughy face.
Yeah, it was all the tone of that thing, for sure.
Yes, I didn't add any tone just there that wasn't already in it.
No, Brian, no hyperbole.
No extra tone added.
No, yes. None. He didn't make a voice or any of that.
If you come at us hand to weight, like doing that sort of thing, I'm gonna fire back with the same level that I.
Yeah,
that
you're just playing in the same sandbox. You're gonna play in the same mud. I get it.
Exactly.
But anyways, what was I gonna say about that? Oh, I was gonna say this. So if you want a good Discord community full of a bunch of frog panty fun people, that's what we are. We're frog panty fun people. You can get on there super easy. I have a link for it and everything. You just go to frogpants.com/discord and you're in.
Yeah.
It's a free invite. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to submit anything.
Exactly.
You just get in.
No, you just get in. We have all sorts of discussions going on. Marvel Snap talk in there. Mm-hmm. Stuff about the TMS couch party. That's where you'll go for that. And
you should hear the people losing their minds over Windows 11 getting rid of Internet Explorer support or something. There's a whole thing going on in general chat now. Yeah.
Please let it die, Marge Simpson said about the.
That was a good Marge
six pack. Thanks. Yeah, I've been. I've really been workshopping that one. Yeah.
The last 35 years.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, let's get to it. So I've got a thing I wanted to share I just thought was rad. I didn't even know this existed. Speaking of nonsense on the internet. There's this website called it's called The Useless Web. And it's useless. theuselessweb.com. Okay. And this reminds me of what I used to love about the internet. Because for me, this a lot of what the internet used to be for me is exactly this. So basically, it's just a landing page that says, take me to a useless website. And it is random. So I'm going to hit, really?
Oh, this is cool. Okay.
I'm going to hit this button, see where this one takes me. It'll take you somewhere totally different.
Yeah.
So this says, can't not tweet this. Okay. So now I'm at a site called can'tnottweetthis.com. So that's useless, right? That's very useless. All it does is repeat the words.
So it just says can't. Is there anything on it?
It's it's an animated HTML5 thing is what I'm getting with letters. Where did you go?
I landed on corndog.io. I'll put a link in the so you can get to it yourself. This is just a bunch of corn dogs flying through the air. It's like an After Dark screensaver, but it's done with multiple levels, so it's.
Oh,
it feels very 3D.
Yeah, look at that. That's cool. See, look at that, you guys. That's got like parallax scrolling, you might call that, I think.
That's right.
Okay.
The tuba says that's a virus.
Yeah, and as far as I know, none of these will give you malware. I'm going to hit another one. Let's see where it takes me this time. It takes me to eslap.com, and it's a guy getting slapped. Oh, I control it. Here, Brian, you got to see this one.
Okay.
This is worth you seeing. Hold on.
I have binarypiano.com.
Okay, so this looks like a snake or an eel?
Oh, eel slap. Oh, I didn't
know.
I thought you were just saying e-slap.
I thought it was e-slap. It's eel slap. And he's getting...
Oh, wow, this guy looks like one of our former programmers at the... look at that. Your mouse controls the slapping.
Yeah.
See this is where you got to turn on move your mouse with your face and like just go... shoo, 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 and just slap. Slap them.
I would get nothing else done that day. I'd just sit there. Look at him. He doesn't know what's coming. Look at those eyes wide open.
No, it doesn't.
Whack. Oh. All right. See, this is...
Actually has to wear a glove to slap him with that eel, too.
That's right. I'll try one more. Burymewithmymoney.com. It's just a... What is it? Oh, it's a guy... Okay, it's just a body jumping from a high place, and then when they land, their money falls out of them, and then the words come up again.
Ooh, binary piano. So it took me to binary piano. This one's kind of cool. It's like it's counting up from zero in binary, but it's playing the ones and zeros like they're musical, like they're notes.
Oh, okay. Weird.
I'll let you. Yeah, you may want to turn the volume down if you can.
I can mute it.
It won't make any sense.
I guess I want to hear it. Yeah, if it has
you do want to hear it. You just don't want it.
Yeah, good point.
If you're gonna play it through the thing.
All right, I'm bringing it up. Let me hit this. Let me... Oh, I don't know if I have a way to volume it. Let's see. Well, we'll find out. Okay. Yeah, that'll eat your brain after a while.
It'll eat your brain, yeah.
Goodness. Okay, that's cool, though.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, see, so it's dumb, but I want to return, like, whatever Web 3.0 is everybody keeps talking about, let's not forget this dumb shit, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's not forget the origins of the web, which is, let's do something weird. Let's not be so serious all the time. Let's not try to figure out how to monetize everything. Just have a dumb site that does nothing.
I got a game called OneSquareMinesweeper.com, and I lost. I clicked on the one square, and it turned out to be a bomb. That's a bummer.
That is a bummer.
It's like, you know, it's all this code to just, you know.
I think I found one you'd like. That'sthefinger.com. And I'm going to send you a link so you can play with it because it requires control.
Oh, look at that. That is really the finger, isn't
it? Yeah, and if you use your mouse, you hover up and down. Yeah. You get a point down at the bottom.
I haven't figured out. So it's just moving.
Up, down.
Because it's just up, down. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, vertical. So you get a bird up top and you get a pointer at the bottom. So nice. That's pretty cool. So take that, you a-holes. Look at that. I'm mad at everybody. I'm doing a bird.
Long Doge challenge. All right. Well, this is fun. I like the useless web. It does harken back to a day when the web was, you know, wasn't as angry and as toxic.
Yeah. And sometimes websites, they had one purpose. And literally that purpose was to be a bird that flipped or a guy getting slapped with an eel. Like the whole reason the site exists. There's no other links. There's no other way to do anything.
And there's no ads. Like it's, you know, nope, I don't have any ads. I just have a guy getting slapped in the face with an eel.
Yeah. And what's cool is those last few ones we looked at, especially the eel one, these are all using modern technologies to make them work. It's HTML5. It's not some old Flash thing. Like. Yeah. It's still what it tells me is there are still people out there that long for it. Maybe we'll have a nostalgic rebirth of what we used to have fun with, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like how I really do think people are getting legitimately really fatigued by the current state of social media or whatever Web 2.0 is. Mm-hmm. And I do think they want like a return to some things. And in a lot of ways, Discord is just straight up forums again. That's what it is. It's forums. It's private forums.
We're going back to BBSs, basically, with Discord.
I kind of like it.
I do, too. Totally fine with that.
All right. Well, Claire, that's good. She says she's not fatigued because she's not on it. She says.
That's the way to do it. You know, let your social media just be a community of people that you already know you like and just hang out in that community and maybe keep out of the musk-scented cesspool of Twitter.
Yeah, the poo-poo. Brian, speaking of poo-poo, you got a new poo-poo? Cat who's doing poo-poos. Yeah. Tell us about your new little kitty.
Yeah, so she's a little black cat. She's about, the shelter said she's 2 years old. She seems younger than that. She's smaller. She was in a home, then was living out on the streets. I don't know how they know this, by the way, like how they know she was in a house and then living out on the streets. I guess they can tell by her behavior if she was just feral. But she's a little black cat. We've named her Salem, Massachusetts.
Love it.
Tina likes all these little one-word names like Lucy and this and that. I'm inspired by, we've got friends who have a cat named Dr. Funkasaurus. We've got Hammond, who's got a cat named Fish Taco and another cat named Janice from accounting. Yeah. It's like, I like the goofy names. And this is kind of like the meet in the middle situation. It's Salem, Massachusetts, but Tina calls her Salem. I call her Salem, Massachusetts, or
That's a great compromise, actually, because she's got her short, fun name, and now you've got your long, weird name.
Exactly. If I'm really mad, or like if she starts chewing on cords behind my desk or something, I'm going to call her Salem, Massachusetts. Hold on, let me do it again here. Salem, Massachusetts, 01765.
Ah, perfect. Perfect. Yeah.
Like she knows she's in trouble when I throw the zip code in there.
Is that an actual? That's an actual zip, I assume.
I think it's something like that.
Because they got zeros out over there on that end of the country. They got all those.
Exactly. Because it's all East Coast is all it moves from right to left, 0 to 9.
Who's in charge of that shit? Because I got a complaint. Look, can I lodge a complaint?
You can.
I'm going to lodge a complaint. Where's my complaint music? Do I have that still?
I mean, it's an established.
here. I'll use that today. Here's my complaint I'd like to lodge. They changed our zip code. Fine.
Okay.
That's fine. Right. If you're we're growing out here, it's a growing area. I get it.
Yeah.
It happens. But to this day, and this has been 7 years now since the zip changed, to this day, there's still confusion. I'll do like a an order on a website, and it'll say, we're going to use this address instead. It's more accurate. And it's the old zip.
And it's the old zip. Yeah, sure.
So I'm like, well, which one do you want? My tax stuff gets effed up every year because some of the stuff has the new zip, some has the old zip. And the accountant's always like, yeah, they're asking for us to figure out which zip. I'm like, it's I don't make the rules. You told me it changed from the 9.5 to the 09. You told me that, dear city, state, whatever. Freaking quit changing it, thus ending my complaint.
I think that that's a very valid complaint. I don't feel, I mean, I guess I understand, right? It's you want zip codes to, if you see, if population in a zip code is increasing, you need to kind of split that zip code into two.
Right.
I guess it kind of makes sense. I haven't seen that.
I don't even mind.
I've never seen that happen, actually. I mean, I've seen the plus four get changed, the plus four that's added on there get changed, but
it is weird, right?
It is really weird. Yeah.
What is also weird is it was 84095 and it's now 84009. So it's actually a lower number.
Yeah.
And so I don't get any of it. Like there's some guy in an office somewhere who's nerd.
Basically, this number is not taken. Let's split this one into that number.
Yeah. It's a huge zip code, Carter. Don't worry about it. That did not dock. I doxed a 100-mile zone. Everything's
people
fine.
People are going to be driving up and down in the entire zip code looking for Scott's house. Kate Katsumi did ask a very important question. How is Inara taking to the new addition to the house?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we got Salem on Friday. And through the whole weekend, Salem, for the life that she's led up to this point, you would think that she was starved and mistreated and to some degree being out in the streets, allegedly, and then living in a small cage at the animal shelter. We gave her Tristan's old bedroom to start with so we could close the door, not have her worry about interacting with Inara for the start, let her just kind of get used to us and used to the house. And she was like, oh my gosh, this is like, I've got so much room in here. She's purring to the point where she's making noises when she purrs, like like that kind of like just super happy kind of thing.
Happiest cat on the planet when they do that. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. And like, doing massaging with her paws kind of thing. Making dough, I think is the kneading dough, as they call it. Then we kind of open the door. We keep Inara downstairs here in the basement with me. And then we open the door and let her kind of explore the upstairs. And we can tell she's like each addition of her world space kind of freaks her out a little bit. She's like, whoa, there's all this extra room in here. What the hell? She hunkers down, is like kind of looking around, and now she's getting used to that. So now she's doing the purring thing again. And then we kind of open up the rest of the house, kind of living room tour, is still all the upstairs. She still hasn't seen the downstairs, and she'll be like, whoa, my God, there's so much shit down here. That's what she's going to say.
I love that, though. I love that. It's adorable.
But she's acclimating very well, and she's had some interactions with Inara, but it's mostly been, here's Inara sitting on her perch. They see each other. Inara hisses. Salem says, yeah, okay, I'm fine. I'll go the other way. It's totally cool. I didn't need to go that way.
So they're respecting boundaries, it sounds like.
They're respecting boundaries, yes.
That's good.
Yep.
Well, but they're both better cats than mine combined. And Carter, you heard me. You heard me. Our cat sucks. Our cat
sucks. Man, Salem is talkative. She just walks around going, meow, meow, meow.
Oh, and to your point about names, it's important to note that in the pet kingdom, right, the big two, dogs and cats, dogs, you're better off with a short name the dog can get trained to. Cats don't give a shit what their name is.
No.
You can call them anything.
They're aware of their name when you use it when they're doing something wrong. You go, Salem?
Right.
What? Okay, sorry.
Right. But it's more about tone, don't you think? Like, they'll hear you getting mad and they'll be like, oh, shit.
Yeah, but you do want, like, if especially if you got multiple cats, you want to be able to identify, you want them to be able to know which one you're talking to.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's good. Happy new home. A rescue, I assume? Rescue little kitty?
Yeah, absolute rescue from the Foothills Animal Shelter. Really nice facility, by the way. I mean, sadly, they've got a lot of cats, and so it's, you know, they don't have tons of room in there, but... man, the cats were getting adopted left and right when we went in there. So
nice.
It's good to see they're doing a good job. But left I'll post photos, you know, new photos and maybe a little video of her just meowing, just walking around meowing because it's cute.
Put that in the Discord at frogpants.com/Discord. Great idea. All right. Real quick here. We got a text that Claire needs to listen to. Okay.
Okay.
This is about Vegas, and it's a mystery person. We'll call them a mystery texter because they didn't leave their name. They said, "Dear Slots and Blackjack, I'm very sorry I can't make it to TMS Vegas this year. I was especially looking forward to meeting Claire, my next unrequited love for future ex or future ex-wife, maybe 2024. Claire, did you hear that? What do you think of that?
That's not creepy at all.
No,
I don't think that's a Monica.
No. Although she might, Monica will be mad that this person's trying to break into her territory here, but yeah, that ain't Monica.
Yeah, no, I think she wouldn't put future ex-wife. I think Monica would just put my wife.
My wife. Yeah, for sure.
She does claim.
So I don't know who this is. It sounds like maybe somebody that was there last year. So, because the way they said, I'm sorry, I can't make it to TMS this year.
This year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
Don't know. Hard to say.
Maybe. I will say this, though. In speaking of the Discord and the TMS Vegas chat that's going on in the Discord, there are a lot of people, and a little frustrating, Scott, because there are a lot of people who seem like they're more excited to meet Claire than to see us.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think we're the hot deal this
year. Scott and Brian are cool, but I hear Claire is coming to this.
Mm-hmm. It's our fault. Because we've created a monster here by bringing her up all the time and talking about her and stuff. So yeah, you and I are no longer the focus. This will now be a Claire event.
That's right. Exactly.
No pressure, Claire.
TMS Vegas with Claire, also featuring opening act Brian and Scott.
Yeah. So you know, so what happens when you have a fiery
special guest Brian and Scott?
Exactly. Yes. You got a fiery Irish person in your thing, you're just screwed. That's how it is.
Yeah, it's totally true. Now, you know what? I will say the in-person meeting Claire lives up to the hype. She is every bit the spitfire that she comes across in chat. So.
Fantastic. Well, look forward to ClaireCon 23, or we can call it the Clarion call. Let's see. What else?
Clairepalooza.
Clarity 2023.
Claritin Vegas.
Claritin. Ask your doctor if Claire is right for you. All right.
Apparently our texter thinks so.
He sure does. Anyway, thanks for the text. 801-471-0462 is where you can send those. You can also send us voicemails like we played pre-show. If you don't know what we're talking about, you should become a patron. Let's do the news right now. Time for some late breaking news that definitely wasn't carried over for about 3 days while we were busy doing other things. And it's brought to you by...
our fellow Tadpooler Ender. Check out his rad Twitch channel at twitch.tv/EnderLFG, as in looking for group. EnderLFG. And I'm hoping that he's got some Marvel chat or Marvel Snap stuff going on there, because I think he plays some of that. Oh, Fortnite, Tomb Raider.
Yeah. He's a mixed, what do they call it? Variety
mixed
streamer.
Bag, yes. It's
a variety streamer.
So
you might say, well, that's interesting, kind of random that he's in there. Well, he didn't even know I did this. So what I'm here to tell you is, in the Discord, we have this thing where it says promote yourself, and people are usually putting like a live stream link when they're going live with whatever they're doing. So they may have a game stream or something like that. And I thought, why don't we start giving them a little sunlight? So if you're in there doing that, you might end up here. So if you're doing some kind of weird hot tub, you know, barely covering your wiener with a beer kind of stream, and you don't want people to know about it, then don't put it in that group. All right.
Yeah. You know what? Leave out the first part. Just don't put it in that group.
Yeah, don't put it in that group at all.
if you're doing that.
Yeah, we don't want to. We don't want to know. But for the rest of y'all, you're good, and you might get showcased here when we don't have a regular spot. All right, let's get to the news here that we've been putting off for so long.
Yeah.
A rare asteroid. It's good to do this on a Tuesday because Bobby will be here later. A rare asteroid may be worth 70,000 times the global economy. All right.
Okay.
The worth of this rock, worth of this hurtling rock, 70,000 times the amount that the current global economy of Earth is worth.
I guess I need to understand how. I don't understand how money works. Apparently,
how does it work?
Where do you sell this asteroid?
Well, this is how NASA is so interested. They actually are sending a spaceship to explore it.
Okay.
So anyway, NASA's mission to an asteroid could be worth 70 million times the global economy. It will expand, or that's supposed to happen this year. The space agency decided back in 2017 that humankind would benefit from a closer look at 16 Psyche. No, you don't. You say the E? I didn't know that.
The E on this one, because it's. I think it comes from the Greek or Roman Psyche, Cupid's Psyche.
So it's like when saying something's his psyche is all out of whack. It's like that, right? That kind of use.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Well, anyway, Psyche mission.
Let me make sure of that because I don't want to go on. There was a. Is it Greek? Yeah, Psyche is the Greek goddess of the soul.
Oh,
so often represented with butterfly wings.
I should have called it something else. I don't like it. Anyway.
Okay.
It's like fine. I was listening to a history podcast yesterday, and they were talking about the origins of the swastika and its. Deep historical stuff where it didn't mean anything like what the Nazis made it mean and how they converted it to mean what it meant. And now how we're just, you just can't use it now. We're done. Like it's ruined. Humanity ruined the swastika. Stupid Germans. but every once in a while I'll run into a word like that. And psyche, I can't see that as a big flying rock for whatever reason.
Anyway. Right. No, the psyche rock. Wait a minute.
Yeah,
that's that song by the what's his face that turned into Futurama, the Futurama theme. It's called.
Oh,
I think that might. I wonder if that's pronounced Psyche Rock or Psych Rock. P S Y C H E R O C K. It's by the electronic guy. Where is it? Pierre Henry.
Pierre Henry. Oh yeah, I love
Pierre
that
Henry.
It's Pierre, the, not Pierre.
Pierre.
I like Pierre. Pierre's fun to say. Yeah.
Pierre, it's French guy. Pierre Henry.
It's this.
Henri, probably pronounced Pierre Henri.
It's this thing we're talking about, right?
Yep.
Okay. Whatever the original of that is.
Are you playing? You're playing? That's the Futurama theme, right?
I think so. It's a weird remix though, because it's got like voice stuff in it and some other stuff. But I don't think it's him.
Yeah. If you YouTube, want me really quickly?
Yeah,
find
yeah. Do it. Let's do this.
You want to dance around a potential?
Yep. We'll play it. We'll play it for the hottest second you guys have ever heard.
All right. Cool. Here we go. Looks like this one right here.
Okay.
Coming to you live in your Discord right now.
All righty.
And you'll want to jump ahead to 38 seconds.
Okay, I'm going to
40 seconds.
40? All right.
40 seconds.
All right, here we go. I'm at the 40-second mark. Let me unmute it. Let's see if we can get a taste. Oh, I can hear it. So did he get credit for that, or was this like a riff on that?
I'm sure
or do
he
you know?
Did. No, I'm sure he did.
Okay. Curious about that. I love that song. Every time I hear it,
it's a great one. Let's see. Composer Christopher Ting was heavily inspired by Henry's Psyche Rock when writing the theme to the popular animated cartoon show Futurama. The theme is so reminiscent of Psyche Rock that is considered a variation of the original. So
interesting.
So I'm sure he does get credit, and
he definitely got it here on the morning stream just now.
Yep,
we got your back, buddy.
Yeah. Now that one has a little accent over the E, so I don't know if you pronounce it Psyche Rock when you're talking about that song, but that's great. Now that we have a rock hurtling towards Earth, or I don't know if it's hurtling towards Earth, but it's out in space, that's called Psyche Rock.
Well, this thing is called, let's see, so it was actually discovered in 1852.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
It's a giant M-type asteroid, thought to be a partial core of a small planet that failed to fully form. during the earliest days of our solar system. The metal-rich asteroid is about the size of Massachusetts. Oh, Salem. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, oh.
Shaped somewhat like a potato. Well, there's your problem. There's your problem right there.
I mean, can't any amorphous shape be considered to be the, kind of the shape of a potato?
Yeah, name something that isn't perfectly round, and it's kind of a potato. That's
it's
just
kind
the rule.
Of a potato, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Name a celestial object that is not potato-shaped. If it's not a perfect sphere, it's probably potato-shaped.
Yeah, just about anything. I'm looking around the room. I see multiple things that I could describe as a potato, including this video I'm looking at right now of myself. Let's see here. The asteroid orbits between Mars and Jupiter at a distance of ranging of about 235 million to 309 million miles from the sun. I don't know what that is in your K-space points, but it's big. let's see. The average diameter is about 140 miles, roughly the distance between L.A. and San Diego. So that's the size of the thing. Anyway, the reason it's worth all this money is it is just jam-packed, stocked with like rare earth mineral stuff. So everything from gold to silver to diamond stuff to like...
Gotcha. That's why. Okay. Well,
yeah.
I'm fine with that.
So you could tear that thing apart and make a bunch of money, I guess.
Would it destroy the world's economy? Like all of a sudden we have this influx of space gold and space diamonds and now it's like, oh, great. We've got... now all those things are worthless because we now have a rock that we can just pull out our... Press our E key and mine and get all of the good stuff out of it.
If there was a way to do it, then yeah, I guess so. Like if one country controlled it, I think so. I don't know if it would destroy the economy, but it would definitely make things not very even. Not that they're that even now.
It's like discovering a planet that's full of Bitcoin. Oh my God, it just destroyed the Bitcoin even further.
Oh no. What do we do with our space coins now? Do you notice not a single, crypto, ad of any kind during the Super Bowl. None.
None. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Zero. Wow. Like, not even a reference, not an NFT, nothing. The closest thing you got was like a mobile game. You had to, if you wanted, you could scan the QR code at the screen and go to the game.
Yeah.
Just totally dumb. But but zero, zero, nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
We went from like 12 of those last year to zero.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very, very telling.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right. Well, good luck with your giant rock, NASA. Let's move on to this story.
Yeah.
If you watch Mulan with your kid, you might wind up in prison.
Okay.
That is sure
there's, I'm sure there's no nuance or any sort of... there's no step 2, 3, 4, or 5 between those two things.
Well, let's check the steps. This is what could happen if Arizona lawmakers get their way. All right. They got a new law that's weird. The Arizona legislature on Tuesday hit a new, I guess it'd have been last Tuesday.
Yeah.
Hit a new high in the hysteria over the most critical and horrifying dangers that threaten our children. They are going after drag queens again, only this time they're also going after parents. Senate Bill 1698 would criminalize anyone who exposes a child to a drag performance. The problem is, so if they take them to a live thing, a hairspray or, you know, something like that, that's what they're aiming for.
A RuPaul drag race, live taping of RuPaul's drag race.
Exactly. Oh. But the problem is, the law, the language of the thing is so loose and poorly written that it could apply to you, Brian, sitting down and watching Mulan, the cartoon from the 90s.
Sure, sure.
When those army dudes all dressed up like ladies to get stuff done. I don't remember what the deal was.
So I guess episodes of Monty Python now are potential.
All of it. Anything where anybody dresses up like a lady. That's how they've done the language.
Most of Flip Wilson's career.
Yeah.
Is shot now.
Yeah. So it
it's just so freaking lame.
I know. I felt that F word coming out of you and I agreed with it while you were doing it.
Yes, exactly. Sometimes that F word, like, really, it stands on the edge and says, nope. Gotta keep this show PG-13.
I don't know why people, let me ask this question.
Doubtfire. What the hell?
I don't even think this is a... Exactly. I don't even think
Bosom
this is...
Bosom Buddies? There's...
there's too many. Bugs Bunny. All of them.
And I know that most of these, you know, most of these conservatives probably watched and enjoyed Mrs. Doubtfire and Bosom Buddies and Monty... Well, probably not Monty Python. They don't get humor, but...
Not
which is why they watch Mrs. Doubtfire. Damn, son. But yeah, no, it's like, you know, oh, I got corrupted because I watched Bosom Buddies and Kip and Henry had to dress up as women to live in that all women's apartment.
Here's what I would like to say to our listeners.
Yeah, Klinger, great, another great example. Oh, can't watch MASH.
We have a mixed listenership, so I want to say this to some people.
Okay, all right.
If you claim to be a group that believes in personal freedom,
yes,
then you should let everyone have their personal freedom. And that includes people who may want to perform in a drag show or go to one. Exactly. If you're the same people that say, don't tell me how to raise my kids, you shouldn't tell other people how to raise their kids.
Exactly.
To me, it's that simple. I don't know why this is complicated. You either believe in that or you freaking don't. So quit saying it if you don't. If you're going to make dumb laws like this but claim you're all about personal freedom and choice, how am I to believe you, you lying sacks of turd? There, that's all I'm saying.
Well done. Nicely.
I'll get emails, but I don't give a shit. At this point, I don't care. You can email me all you want. All right, let's move on to one more story.
Okay, all right.
A young dolphin skull. Oh, this is sad a little bit.
Aw.
Was found in luggage at Detroit Airport by customs agents. Oh, man.
Jeez, okay.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents made a fishy discovery last week. Well, they're not fish. Dolphins aren't fish.
Yeah, they're mammals.
They're mammals, right?
Are they? Yeah, dolphins are mammals. Oh, crap. This is one of those, like, I know whales are mammals. Hold on a sec.
I'm pretty sure they're mammals. Right?
I don't want to...
I think so. I'm almost 1,000%.
Yes, they are cetaceans. They are mammals, yes.
Yeah, and they breathe air through that hole and all that.
Correct.
Pretty high-end zoology going on here on the show.
That's right. It's Scott Johnson, marine biologist.
That's right. I got my research assistant, Brian Ibbett, back there making sure they're mammals. It's fantastic. Yes. Anyway, so here's what they did. They found this thing while accompanied or unaccompanied as international baggage. They don't know why it was there. The bag had been separated by owners during transit, the agency said in a news release, and underwent routine X-ray screening when it re-entered the U.S. During the screening, agricultural specialists noticed a skull-shaped object in the language, or in the luggage, in the language.
In the language.
Officials with CBP and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service determined it was a skull, believed to be a young dolphin's skull. Mm-hmm. According to the CBP, animal parts or products, including skulls, are subject to import and export restrictions, prohibitions, permits, mm-hmm. or certificates. Importing or exporting marine mammals is prohibited. Were they on hand? Were they at the TSA going, oh, hold on a second, that looks a little funny there, and I'm a marine biologist.
I wonder if they've got somebody at the airport, just one person who's with Border Patrol or Fish and Wildlife or whatever, or if they had to say, no, you got to wait here while we get in, while we call these people in. Probably the latter. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that they have enough staff to do all the other things they need to do, you know, Border Patrol and Department of Fish and Wildlife to actually have somebody stationed at each. Oh, Mac Addict, it says they do.
They
actually do have somebody from, well, Border Patrol, I guess, doesn't make sense. You'd have to have one at each international airport. But Fish and Wildlife, I would think you'd have to call in.
Mac Addict, I need a citation. Give me a citation. I can't. We can't live in a world where one chatter goes, they do, and we have to believe it. You got to provide me with some proof there, buddy.
Right. Yes. Let's see. Let's see your proof.
Anyway, so they. They don't know where it came from or why it's in there. But
now, you know. All right. So I understand. I mean, I guess importing or exporting marine animals is prohibited. But it's like, what about if you bring, you know, one of those dried starfish? I guess it's not a mammal. So never mind. Mm.
What are those? Those are not crustaceans, or are they? I don't know what you call those.
Because
they're like crabs.
Exoskeletons. Yeah, but they don't. Starfish don't have exoskeletons. They're
mollusk. Says the chat.
Mollusk. Maybe mollusks. Yeah.
Is a mollusk it's a category? Not a.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so like that's why sand dollars and starfish, dried up starfish and stuff like that are okay, but any part. So what is it? Is there's no other parts of a whale, like whalebone, a whalebone lamp or something like that?
Well, I've seen whalebone. What have we seen with Bell? Well, you see, they have.
I know. Is there?
They have right, penis bones.
There,
and
you
stuff.
Feel like there's a word. There's a word that's frequently said after whalebone.
Whalebone. What is that we're trying to say?
Yeah,
it's a thing.
I don't know.
Scrimshaw, says the chap. What the hell does that mean?
Corset? Whalebone corset?
Corset?
Maybe. Huh.
Is it a corset?
Old dresses used? Okay, yeah, a lot of people are saying corset. It's a whalebone corset.
Really? Like they would make those corset things
isn't,
like the 1800s?
Isn't that just the way that it's not really made from whalebones, but it's made in the shape because it's a supportive structure to the under musculature of the dress.
Yeah, right.
So they were made with corsets, were made with baleen.
Okay, the scrimshaw is a scroll work, engravings and carvings done in bone or ivory, usually made from sperm whales.
Boner ivory, you said.
Boner. Well, maybe see the skull. Maybe the skull of the freaking
dolphin.
I can't think of the damn word. Maybe they grind that up, and make it into like aphrodisiacs or something.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Grind anything up and tell you it's an aphrodisiac.
That's true. You could grind this show up and tell me that.
That's true. Somebody has.
Yeah. Let us know if that's you. All right. Yeah. All right. That'll do it for your news day. We are going to take a break. When we come back, Bill will be here. We actually got a call for Bill, which we'll play when he gets here. We also have a call for Bobby, we'll play when he gets here. So lots of people using the voicemail line, which I'm very happy about. That's coming up after this break. Brian's got a song. He will play it now. What do you got?
I've got a new song by a band called The Bayonets. Now, get a load of this. Here's all the people that are in The Bayonets. It's a trio. Brian Ray, who's played with, he's part of the Paul McCartney's band. He played with Etta James. Oliver Lieber, who's the son of Jerry Lieber, the guy who wrote a ton of songs. And Argentinian musician Lucrecia Lopez Sanz, with help from Adam McDougall from the Black Crows and Davey Farragher from Elvis Costello. I mean, there is so much legacy in this band that you would say, well, it probably is really good. And guess what? If you said that, you'd be right. Here's a brand new single from a band called The Bayonets. It's called Argentina, and it's out now. Here's The Bayonets featuring Brian Ray, Argentina.
Marty. Shh. You'll scare the fish.
But we're missing the big football
Relax.
Game.
Relax. My VHS home video recorder is taping it right now.
Terrific.
Oh, yum, 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 M&M.
The Morning Stream. I have to go shopping. We're running out of everything. Cat food, fish food, ant spray, and rat poison.
No idea what that was about. Brian, who was that musician and song again, please?
Why, that musician, that band is called The Bayonets, B-A-Y-O-N-E-T-S, and it's a brand new single called Argentina. Go check it out, and you'll find some other stuff, some older stuff by The Bayonets that's also really, really good.
Nice. Does this make you want to, this right here?
Oh, yum, 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 M&M.
Make you want to go watch Your Brother Art, though?
It does. It does. I'm a, you know, I'm not a fop. I don't want fop. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
I love that movie so much, but I always forget. I forget how many Coen Brothers movies that I can't think of his name all of a sudden. Bill Dautrey from King of the Hill. The guy, him who just did the voice. What's his name? Stephen Root. Jeez.
Stephen Root. Jeez Louise. I was like, David Koechner? No, Stephen Root. Yes.
Right. I always forget how many those movies he's in. He's in a lot of Coen Brothers movies, and yeah. I rewatched No Country for Old Men, and man, does he get a shotgun to a rough place in that movie.
Does he really?
Oh, geez. Man. Yeah. What's his name? Gets him pretty bad. Sugar.
Anton Sugar.
Sugar. What the hell, Sugar?
Sugar.
I'm being chased by a man named Sugar. Anyway, that's going to do it for that little break there. Let's do now the bringing on of Bill or of Dan.
Okay.
Of Bill, yeah.
All right.
I always forget the difference between Bobby and Bill, but Bill's easy to remember because his name is Bill. Let's see here.
His name is Bill. Bill.
Speaking of Bill Dautrey, our little intro here.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
It's Bill. You know him as Bill Duran. That's his real name, his full name. But you also might know him as Jim Beard on Twitter. He's the guy who runs this Punished Props business up there in the Pacific Northwest. Has a rad YouTube channel about it. Comes on the show and talks about making stuff. And hopefully today you'll be as inspired as we often are with Bill here. Hi, Bill. Welcome back.
Hello. Good morning. Happy to be here.
Guten Morgen.
Good morning. Yeah. Good to have you.
Very nice to have you. What? Oh, you know what? I want to play this call for you first. You want to hear something awesome. Real quick? Okay. So this is about Legos and your whole conversation about cleaning them and stuff. And we got this call specially for you. Here you go.
Hey there, Mr. Scott and Brian. I'm calling on Bill's TMS segment. I just wanted to say that in addition to retro consoles, his tip about hydrogen peroxide works amazing on classic Lego sets. I just finished cleaning mine up, and they are as glorious as they were on Christmas morning in 1987. So for any of you tadpoolers out there that are classic Lego fans, give it a shot. Just don't use it with pieces that have stickers. Thanks, guys. Love the content. See ya.
Nice. I guess that makes sense. Awesome. It's probably all the same plastic type, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably all ABS plastic.
ABS, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if your Legos got left anywhere near UV light, they probably got discolored a little bit.
A little yellowed or whatever, yeah.
This is a little bit side note, so I apologize for this question, but do either of you have a good suggestion for best way to clean your computer displays? Because often, like, this isn't glass.
Oh, monitors?
Yeah, especially if they're not glass. Yeah. Glass makes sense. You can use glass cleaner. But when it's like the whatever this is, the more matte finish.
Yes, right.
I never know what to use.
You still want to spray a, what I still use is like a spray on a lint-free cloth, like an eyeglass cleaning cloth.
Yeah.
But don't spray directly on your screen. And then
what are you using for spray? Just like Windex-y kind
of stuff? I'll show you.
Okay. See, this is what I was hoping for here. Brian's going to grab his unit and bring it back.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called, but I have some kind of spray that's specifically designed for monitors.
I'm always afraid.
This is EVO Premium Screen Cleaner Spray is what I use.
EVO Screen Cleaner. All right.
Screen Cleaner. And I use this because with the gig where I'm cleaning machines, both digitally and physically, this is what I use on the screens for all of them. And it's very... Obviously, it's not abrasive.
And you're using that soft glasses style thing.
Soft glasses thing. And then actually I have a dust-free that's more like a terry cloth. So I'll actually do... Yeah, here's the spray. I'll put a link in the tadpole here for everybody.
Oh yeah, they've got sprays and wipes. I could get from them. It looks like.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and I think actually theirs comes with the lint-free cloth and then the terry cloth. So once you hit it with the lint-free cloth, again, you spray the cloth, wipe the screen, and then you use the microfiber cloth afterwards to give it a polish.
Okay.
Just a really quick polish.
All right. I'm going to get some of this because I let mine get so dirty for so long because I'm always afraid to clean it. But I'm here. Yeah, I am every day
for sure,
spitting on this thing every day doing shows. I probably spit on it just now with a pee. Spit. Yeah, there's peas all over my screen. Anyway, well, that's a fun side note. Now we bring it back. We pull this car back into the garage and we see what Bill's doing. Bill, what are you making this week? What are you doing? What are you suggesting? What's going on?
So I wanted to talk about technical drawing, one of my favorite topics.
All right.
And I still do a lot of it too. Now, back in high school, we still had old school technical and architectural drawing classes. This was in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. We used pencil and paper, T-squares and triangles. We drew everything by hand.
Yeah.
And I took all of those classes twice. I was a bit of a nut. I was quite into it.
Nothing at all wrong with that.
No. Nope, not to brag too much, but in 11th grade, I got the technical or architectural drawing award.
Nice. Well done. Yeah.
But what's really cool is we had 3 years of that, and then in my senior year, they gutted that lab. They got rid of it. I actually wish that I got my hands on some of those desks and stuff. But anyway, they got rid of that lab, replaced it with a computer lab. And my senior year, we learned how to do the same thing in AutoCAD, which I think is actually pretty cool to have learned both ways to do it.
I agree.
And I still use both. I still draw lots of stuff by hand, and I do lots of stuff in CAD as well. So recently, I had an itch to do some technical drawing, and I just tweeted this out. I tweeted a picture of a drawing I did. It's an orthographic projection of a Lego brick. Mm. Speaking of Lego.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's three different views of a Lego brick with all of the dimensions, so that hopefully at some point I could recreate it in CAD, and I want to make a metal Lego brick on my CNC machine. I think that'd be really cool.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like, because we all, you know, we had the sets that came with a silver, looked like metal brick, but you want an actual metal brick.
Yeah. I really do.
Would you have it solid or would it be hollow?
It would be exactly like another Lego brick.
Hollow, so you could put a piece underneath it if you needed to.
Absolutely.
Would you make it larger, though, like a bigger, heavier one, or would you go with like the size of a standard
Lego brick? Right now, the idea is to make one that could link with other Lego bricks, because there's a specific challenge to that. The tolerances are quite tight to get it to fit with just a little friction, but not too much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the challenge I'm going after, but a big honking brass Lego brick that is like a paperweight or something would be kind of awesome too. Yeah.
And just to make sure you're doing the best Lego brick, which is the 8 pips, 2x4 pips Lego brick, right?
I'm doing the 2x2 just because.
It's the second. That's the second best Lego brick.
It seems like a smaller would be a little quicker for when I eventually fail and have to remake this thing.
Yeah, sure. That makes sense. I think the little square ones are cool. To dial in
all the tolerances.
Sure. And the square ones you could do, I don't know, I think that's actually pretty cool. I would go with the square one as well.
But once I figure out all the tolerances on everything, then I could extrapolate that to larger bricks.
Love it. Love it.
Yep.
That's really cool. And then, again, technical drawing, that's the whole point where these tolerances matter, right?
Yeah, yeah. And where I can track that information as well.
Right.
So most technical drawings, when you think of a technical drawing, it's an orthographic projection. So it's several drawings of different sides of the same object, right? What your goal is to do is these different sides describe all the features of that object, and you use as many views as you need to get all those features on, as well as all of the dimensions. So if you look at my Lego brick, you'll see all the features, little pips described with lines and circles and everything.
Yeah.
The dotted lines are features that are inside that you couldn't see from that view, but exist on the inside.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I loved, that was one of my favorite classes, was technical drawing class, like doing the, like you said, not just the T-square, but then you also had the horizontal rule that was affixed on a chained to both sides, so you could only move it flat up and down. You know, for whatever reason, I just connected so much with that class, and so now when I do stuff in CAD and, you know, making stuff for myself, 3D design, it's like it just harkens back to that. But I would love, you know, like I've got the Kyber crystal thing. Mm-hmm. I would love to actually make a print showing that as a like a blueprint.
Oh yeah,
Oh, that's cool.
I love blueprints as art. I want more blueprints hanging up on my walls.
Yes.
Yeah, those are cool. Why are they so cool? I don't know.
They're like, just really cool. They're cool for us techie guys who, as kids, took things apart to figure out how they worked. And
Yeah, there's something about it. Also the blue with the white, like handwritten notes and things. Like, that's so rad. I love it.
Yes, that font, that was it Tecton? That Tecton font that was like the perfect one for architectural renderings.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah.
I would have a room full of these on the wall if I had the wherewithal to take the time to do it. Because I just, like all your favorite things. Do one of a broken out lightsaber. Do one of a...
Sure.
Or whatever.
How about like a Game Boy? Mm-hmm. How cool would that be?
Oh, a Mattel or a Kenner? A Kenner Millennium Falcon.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Any of that stuff. Oh my gosh.
Or a Game Gear.
Yeah, Game Gear.
Yes.
And I love I like blown out stuff where it's like all the pieces are like exploded. Is the word I'm looking for.
Exploded view. Those are my favorite. That.
Yeah. So cool.
Actually, when I was making the Blade Runner revolver, I found an exploded view of a real Bulldog revolver, which is what was used in the original prop, and that one drawing pretty much gave me everything I needed to know about the mechanics of that thing, which was really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So the idea with this technical drawing is that I could hand it to a fabricator, and that drawing will have everything they need to remake that part.
Mm-hmm.
It's you're communicating something to another person. So nowadays, I don't hand my drawings to other people, but I do still do lots of technical drawings for myself. So if I'm designing something for like if I'm designing some shop furniture, or especially if I'm making anything on my lathe, I'll do a little drawing ahead of time. And it doesn't have to be with, you know, straight lines or anything. Most of my technical drawings are freehand in my notebook, just to describe the features and dimensions of something. And then while I'm making it, again, especially on the lathe, I have an image I can reference before I do something permanent and stupid. So constantly refer back to this drawing, double check my work before I ruin my part.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it can happen. You know, you gotta be careful. But if you're doing metal stuff, it just feels like the stakes are higher. Right.
Yeah. Right.
It's like I can't just melt this down again, or I can't just. I mean, I guess you could in the right circumstances, but it just feels like you
don't.
Really, yeah, you
just
don't.
Cut that piece off. You throw it in the box of shame, and then you start over.
Yep. And then then like 10 years later, you just happen to be looking in the box of shame, and you relive it all over again.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The pain.
I don't
comes
know.
Back.
I keep that box.
Some of it. I mean, do you keep your too many or a lot of your mistakes, or what do you do?
No, I throw away a lot of stuff. Although with metal bar stock, a lot of times the leftovers from a mistake are still useful for another smaller part. So I have a box of scrap metal that I keep because it's still useful.
That makes sense, yeah.
About it.
Yeah.
So I recommend anyone giving this a try. A fun exercise we did in high school was to take an object from your house, something you own, and do a 3D drawing of it. Maybe challenge yourself. Maybe draw something a little more tough than an iPhone. Find something with score features, but find something small in your house and try and do a drawing of it. It's fun. I sat down for an hour and drew that Lego brick, and I had a great time.
So even if you don't have it's like a lot of art. Like sometimes it's good just not to have a point. You know, sometimes like we were just talking about this weird web stuff, Brian, earlier. Sometimes you just want to do it for the sake of doing it, and
It's like
scratch an itch.
Yep.
How you and I, Scott, always talk about like wanting to have things that are outrageously large versions of small things or outrageously small versions of large things.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Love it. Yeah. Well, I love that stuff.
No,
I don't know what it is.
Just have it on my desk to say, look at this giant 2x4 Lego brick that I've 3D printed for zero reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
Marvel at how large it is.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Compared to a normal one.
You want to get my attention, all you have to do is make a giant telephone or a huge pencil or a little tiny, It doesn't even matter. Like, what?
Oh,
why?
My God. How cool would it be to have, like, a Palm Trio that's, like, you know, the size of a... the size of a small TV.
Yeah, like something. A big one, a big device that we think of as small normally, or the opposite. Yeah. Like, Brian sent me this. Let me tell you what's cool. Tempest is cool by itself. Tempest is rad.
Yeah.
Tempest arcade game, even cooler if you have the arcade game. You know what's cooler than all of that? A little tiny 1/16th model of it.
No, I'd argue having a full-size Tempest is slightly cooler than having
Mr. Fancy Boy. We know... No, but you know what I mean? Like, I want to make a tiny arcade. That's my, like, if I have a goal about fabricating anything, it's to make just a little mock arcade with the shitty carpet and the coin machines and a freaking basketball hoop thing where you get the tickets. I want to do all that. I'll never do it.
Adam 12 says 3/4 scale. No, this is not the arcade one up version, Adam 12. This is the full size arcade Tempest in my basement here.
Yeah, he might be talking about a little one. I don't know, but
he might. No, he's I mean, that's the arcade one up is the 3/4 scale. No, this is the original. This one still has cigarette burns in the corner from where somebody set their cigarette in the wrong place on it and melted a little bit of the panel.
Only way to have an arcade
quarter
machine.
Like, there's a little bit of space for quarters in the top panel, so you can say you can call next game and that sort of thing.
So jealous of that thing. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, right. I'm not disparaging you. I'm not. This is not part of my degradation kink, Adam 12.
I just want
to correct you and say,
asked nicely. You know, that's the difference.
Yes, he did. Exactly.
Yeah, this is the part of the exchange you have to pay attention to. How did you ask and how did Brian answer? See?
We did talk a little bit about this when we were talking about animatronics a couple of weeks ago, Bill, but that company New Wave Toys that makes all of these 1/6 arcade machines and even has a 1/6 change machine that's a USB power bank and stuff like that also has now a Zoltar, you know, the machine that Tom Hanks wishes was big, or I guess the little kid wishes he was Tom Hanks with.
You still see those in Vegas once in a while, and they're awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of nostalgia for one because I don't think I ever saw one in real life when I was a kid. But the big reference is about all I have. That's all I have.
And that's what it is for me too. It's like, oh yeah, I love that in big, but yeah, I never went to the boardwalk on the seaside in New Jersey and put a quarter into one of those. But it does come out with little cards that give you your fortune too. Like they've got little miniature fortunes. Rebel Scum New Wave Toys is the company that makes all of these really cool 1/6 machines.
They even have token machines, and it's like a USB charger as well or something.
That's the one that's the USB power bank, and it's got a little red on air light on it too. It's really cool.
Did you just bring that one up?
Yeah, that's all right.
Shit.
It's totally fine.
Dang it.
I just take issue with their recent Missile Command because they've got a screen that's like bulbous to like make it look like the old style CRT, and if you have any light in the room that you're playing Missile Command on, you get a light reflection on it, so you have to be playing it near a pitch black room to enjoy the Missile Command.
Lame. Yeah. I don't know why they do that. That should be standard, not to be glary.
Exactly. But anyway, sorry, Bill. Back to
Bill.
Giant Legos.
Yeah.
Metal Legos.
Yeah. So that's cool. So how soon till we get to see your handiwork on that thing?
I'm not sure. This won't be a video or anything. This is just a wild creative hair I had.
Yeah.
Let's see
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Well, I love this kind of stuff and always love what you bring to the show. You always bring something a little extra. I'm sure today's no different. So what do you got there, man?
I've got a fun video from the folks over at NerdForge. They make all sorts of really neat stuff. So the completely blanking on her name, but the woman who hosts it, Martina. There we go. Thanks, Britt.
Yeah.
She's missing a finger. She's missing a pinky. So she made her own prosthetic pinky with a 3D printer, which I think is just the coolest.
Great. That is really cool.
Did she get into what happened to the pinky?
Table saw. Table saw did it.
Damn. Yeah.
That's all the information she gave, and that's enough.
Yeah. All right. And
I like that she's using making technology to replace something that she lost with making technology. Like, live by the saw, die by the saw, basically.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Ironic, she lost the other pinky during this build.
She has a cool studio space. I kind of want to steal it.
And it's such a cool little steampunky looking little finger, basically, is what she's got there. It's awesome.
Is it the kind of thing she could wear all the time, do you think, or just when she needs it?
Maybe, maybe not. I think maybe if it was just a little more durable, I imagine this thing would, with actual use, would eventually break or fall apart. Sure. It's all 3D printed parts.
Oh, that's wild. Very that's cool.
And I'll have to watch the video, but I assume it moves like when she moves the part of her pinky, that little part that's still there.
The nub,
It moves the rest of the finger.
Also, she's basically both proving and disproving my whole take on you don't need your pinkies, because I don't think you do. If we all lost our pinkies, it'd be fine. We would cope. But she's like, yeah, sure, I can cope, but also I made one.
Yeah. I'd rather not have to. If I can make it through this whole adventure with all my fingers intact, I'm
sure
happy.
I'd prefer that. Yeah, absolutely.
I'd like to keep all the parts I came with. Yeah,
me too, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Pretty attached to all of it.
No, they don't grow back. We're not like those weird worms where they can grow back after you kill you or whatever. You know, can't chop my head off and have it come back. So use what you've got and keep it. Okay, everybody?
Could we, we could still use her influence to create additional fingers if it means we could do things better.
Oh,
6 fingers.
My
nice.
Gosh. That now we're cooking with gas, as the kids
now
say.
Now we're talking. Yes.
Yeah, it's what AI art machines are trying to tell us.
Yeah, this whole time.
Humans should have 6 fingers.
That's right. Well, there you go. It's Bildoran, everybody. Punishprops.com is the place to go if any of this is interesting to you, because he covers all sorts of cool making stuff, and his YouTube channel is no different. So please check it out. Please. Bill, anything else you want to say?
Nope, that'll do it. Good hanging with you guys.
Have a great week.
See you next week.
Bye now. Okay. All right, Bobby, I hope you're ready for this, man, because you're coming in the show now. You're going to be here. You're going to be on tap. I can't find his damn intro. There it is.
Science.
Science, that's right. You heard me. Science with Bobby Frankenberger, whose camera is blown the F out. Oh, no, it looks good. Looks good now.
Yeah, it's that first initial Discord like, oh, all the pixels?
Yeah, every pixel. Every pixel. That's what we believe in here. Every pixel has a voice. Hey, it's good to have you here. What's up with Bobby these days? How are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good. You hear about that expensive meteor thing? Do you have a take on that, or whether we should go get it?
Well, it's the reason NASA's going to check it out is because of the fact that it's they suspect that it's like the core of a protoplanet or an early planet that never became a planet, so they want to study it to see steps in that process and learn things about how planets are formed and whatnot. So
the side benefit is it might be worth bank, but really there's
side
a lot of science.
Side benefit is money.
That's right, dollar bills, y'all. All right. Well, that's cool. I got a call I'm going to play for you for the beginning here, just to get out of the way. So
let's do it.
Enjoy.
Just listen to the episode where you guys stole all the science stories from Bobby. So he's talking about flying in the airplane. And I just wanted to say, Bobby, I could listen to you talk about flying for hours. I really, really like it. Have a great day. Singer from Wisconsin.
A little bit of Patrick at the end.
Wow. Channeling both Nicolas Cage and Patrick. Wow.
It's a lot to chew there. So, you're obviously, when you're passionate about a thing, people like hearing you talk about it, I think is what that
Gosh.
Says.
Yeah. Well, if good. Only there was a podcast that you did about your flying experiences that he could listen to you talk about flying for hours.
Thank you, Brian.
Weird.
Oh, yeah. I enjoy also talking about my flying, obviously. So it's nice that people like it. But yeah, I do actually on a not regular basis, like, there's no schedule to me doing it, but I do have a like little diary podcast that I do called Diary of a Student Pilot. You can just search for that. It's there's a handful of episodes out because I just started it like a couple months ago, but I'm actually about to put another one on there. But if you like hearing me talk about flying, I get on there and sort of chronicle my flying
it is
lessons.
Fascinating. Yeah. I do like hearing about it, and not just about like, oh, here's what I did today. It's also like, I'm struggling because I had a really bad flight day today and I don't know where to go from this. And what do I, what's my next?
That was a recent one. And it was. And because it started as like a way for me to keep up with friends and family with like letting them know how things are going. But also I thought, you know, what if someone stumbles on this who's going through or thinking about flying lessons themselves?
Sure. For
private pilots. Mm-hmm. And same thing I'm doing. And when I looked for those sorts of things from the perspective of someone going through it, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
At least not in the way that I was looking for. So
what's your take on the Iron Eagle method of listening to bad 80s metal music while you're flying? Does it help you? Does it hinder?
Yeah.
Is it a good thing?
I actually heard a story on a aviation podcast I do listen to of some flight instructor who was doing every 2 years as a pilot, you have to go as a private pilot, you have to go through a process of getting with a flight instructor, and basically they have to sign off to say you're still okay to fly. You have to take like another, it's not as intense as a test, and it's not with an examiner, but it's with a flight instructor, and it's sort of like refreshing your skills and everything. And so this flight instructor was sitting with a guy who insisted that he flew best when he was listening to like Iron Maiden or something like that.
Really?
Wow.
Okay. I'm trying to think. How would that make me feel, Iron Maiden in the sky? I'd need something more like, I don't know, what would motivate me?
Iron Maiden's
there?
Appropriate, though, because that guy, the what's his face, Joe Elliott, is a pilot.
Oh, is he? I didn't know that. I'm trying to think. What would I listen to in a plane to get me motivated? I can't think of anything that I would really jam to.
Like Beastie Boys. Miss American.
Because all I can think of is the cover of License to Ill with the crash plane on the front.
Yeah. It's like folded into itself or whatever. That thing crashed real hard. It's not good. Foo Fighters?
Bruce from Iron Maiden. Joe Elliott's from Def Leppard. Yes, thank you for the correction.
Oh, Bruce Dickinson then. Okay.
Bruce Dickinson, yes.
Nice. Well, run for the hills, as he would say.
Right. Or fly to the hills.
Fly to the hills. Well, okay, excellent.
Yes.
Bobby, let's
fly by night.
Fly by night. Bill, tell us what, or Bill, Bobby, tell us what you brought with us for, or with you
Bobby,
for
tell us
stuff
why
today.
You're not Bill.
Yeah, how are you not Bill and why? What are we talking about? I have no idea today.
We're going to talk about kids. We have kids. We all have kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Sure.
So let's talk about kids and their brains.
Let's do it.
So kids tend to be pretty attached to their mothers, right? Mm
hmm. Certainly for the first 9 months.
Yeah. They're right up in
longer.
It.
Yep.
And sometimes longer.
Depending
yeah.
on how you plan to feed them. but kids tend to be pretty attached. They seem to have like a different kind of bond, I think, with their mothers. And I don't think that that's just because of, you know, the typically who is at home raising them. Because I am a stay-at-home dad. My wife is the one who works.
Mm-hmm.
And they still, our kids still have a different sort of bond with their mom. But that eventually changes, right? Mm-hmm. So at least the nature of that and how much they are attached to their mothers or parents in general. But have you noticed that before? Like, because your kids are older.
Yeah.
As they get to a certain age, they're no longer quite as attached to their parents. Right.
Well, they shouldn't right? be. I hope they're not. I mean, the goal is, I know everything's going to be a little bit different. People are still very close to their kids. I'm extremely close to all my three of my kids. However, you want them, that closeness isn't necessarily the same as like dependence. You want them to not feel dependent on you anymore. You want them to feel like they can go and be comfortable in the world without you being there for every minute. If they feel that way, if they feel the opposite of that, then I feel like I did something wrong, you know?
Right. That's like my thought, too. My goal as a parent is to make it so my kids eventually don't need me anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that they irritate both me and Tina equally, as opposed to just irritating one of us more than the other.
Yeah. You don't want equal irritation. I get it.
Yes.
Right.
Sure.
Exactly.
Love you, Tristan. I know you're listening.
So that usually happens around the teenage years is when they're starting to take less of an interest in their parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think that might be? Why do you think it's so universal that in the teenage years that starts to happen?
Oh, gosh.
What's going on?
Wendy has literally told us this before, like on the show. We had a whole thing about why those years.
It kind of is because it goes the other direction for them on a personal level, right? They want less involvement It's not a matter of like saying I need you know, I'm more independent. It's more like I want less watching and managing, micromanaging by my parents. And so it's right. like a forced self-independence to get away from those things that they deem as embarrassing or evil for, you know.
I think that's a good friends. I think that's a good guess, because they're trying to discover who they are, and independence and is part of that and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think another thing that's happening around teenage years is those middle school years when you're finding who you are, how you fit in socially and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So there's also some evidence that this isn't just because of socialization and interaction with peers, but there might be something going on in the brain too. Mm. Mm. And that it coincides with what's going on there. So there was some research done by scientist Daniel Abrams of Stanford University School of Medicine. What they did was they scanned the brains of kids age 7 to 16 as they heard the voices of their mothers.
Okay.
All right. They wanted to know what was going on inside their brains when they heard the voices of their mothers. And to be very scientific about this, they decided they just wanted to be the voices. They were curious about what would happen just at the sound of the voice. So they had recordings of their mothers saying gibberish words that weren't real. So it wouldn't be the context or the content.
Right.
Of
they
the
couldn't get anything from the words themselves, just from the sounds.
Right. And so they're just hearing the sounds of their mother's voices. And so what they looked at was for little kids, age seven, the younger half of those kids, age 7 to 12, what they saw in their brains was that their brains responded more strongly to their mother's voice than to the voices of strangers.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Especially in the areas of the brain that were responsible for reward and paying attention. Whenever they heard their mother's voice, those areas lit up a lot. But all over the brain, they would see this, not just in those two areas, but it was just particularly strong in those two areas for reward and attention. All over the brain lit up more strongly when their mother's voices were heard than when strangers' voices were heard, which makes sense.
Sure,
totally makes sense. That's exactly what you'd hope for and expect.
Mm-hmm. You'd want kids to be tuned into their parents and in particular the mother, who is historically or evolutionarily maybe the typical caregiver of children, right?
Yeah. They literally feed you from their body. Like, it's the most connect. They not only carried you and nurtured you in the womb, but then they are the ones that exited you and then immediately started feeding you. Like, as much as I like to be a dad, and as much as I think dads are cool and dads are crucial and all that.
Right.
It's the ladies who really get the job done, you know?
Sure.
Right. Do. There is an undeniable physiological bond that happens, right? Yeah. But that interesting thing that is maybe expected, of brains lighting up more when their mother's voices are heard rather than strangers' voices, when they hit the teenage years, the opposite starts to happen. This is what this study found. And that is to say that that teenagers' brains would light up more when they heard the voice of strangers than when they heard their mother's voices.
Yeah, makes perfect sense to me.
So why do you think that makes perfect sense?
It makes sense to me because all they've known up to a certain point during their extreme dependence on their mother is their mother or their father or their combination, right? Mm-hmm. That's the source of nutrition, of survival, of everything. Right. All the things you need as a developing human being. Once you are to a stage where you've got those basics, it's the outside world that becomes interesting to you evolutionarily, because you have to go there one day. And the desire to not necessarily rebel so much, but just reach toward that and not toward your parents. To me, that just makes all the sense in the world. I don't know how to quantify it or define it, but that just seems 100% normal to me. Like, of course they do. Why wouldn't they? Like, and why wouldn't they do it then? Because they now are also in the situation where they're not only trying to reach out into the world, but they're also going to get resistance / advice / help / wisdom from their parents in doing so. Right? Mm-hmm. So they're straddling it.
Right.
And some kids go nuts and really wreck the, you know, go nuts and the parents are terrible
once
or whatever.
They get their newfound freedom and
yeah. But the concept should be that as they reach, we as parents are helping them reach.
Right. Exactly. And so there's a social aspect of it. Like you said, eventually you're going to leave the nest, so to speak, to use the cliche. And you need to be able to learn about the world around you. But importantly, what they found here is that this lighting up of the brain is not because of novelty. In other words, it's not just because so from infancy, human beings are kind of hardwired, especially infants, actually, and toddlers, young kids, are hardwired to really tune into new experiences. So you see that in babies' brains all the time. Whenever they're exposed to something new, their brains will light up in a particular way. And that makes sense with babies. They're trying to learn about the world, right? So they need to be excited by and their attention grabbed by new things and experiences, right?
Right.
But that's not what's going on here. What's going on here is just literally there seems to be a flip so that at around the ages of 13 and 14, which is what this study found, it starts to flip to where teenagers just seem to be more interested in new people in particular, new voices, and less interested in their parents. And they think that it's absolutely, the hypothesis is exactly what you're saying, Scott, that it's just to facilitate and encourage the seeking out of new social groups, new social connections.
Right.
Which is what you need to survive. And it's always been like, you see, it's in primates in general, right? The social, that's what sets a certain mammals like primates and some others apart is their very social nature.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So
totally can see that
the study found. So it's very cool.
That's super interesting. I feel like if you're a parent, a lot of the stuff just seems obvious this is the part that fascinates me because it's obvious in an instinctual way.
Right.
But not in a way that's easy to describe why. Like if you start getting into the nuts and bolts the way the study did and the way that science typically does, parents don't think in those terms, but we get it. Like everything you just said made perfect sense to me. I'm like, oh yeah, of course that's what they found. But I don't know how to quantify that very well, you know?
And that's what's cool about this study is that it's not just, what makes a scientist is they see a pattern like all teenagers seem to start wanting to or being more interested in other people than their parents. They see a pattern and they don't just like take it for granted. They start to ask why, what's going on here, right? Mm-hmm. Is there something that we can discover about this? And so they looked into it and it's not just, it just appears that it's not just the way our society is structured. And the way that we teach kids, it's also somehow actually hardwired into the brain somewhere that this is happening.
Yeah. Which makes sense, right? We're talking about millions of years of that stuff versus, us going, video games are bad for kids. Well, do we know that? We don't really know. We're looking at a micro moment in history and we just don't know enough, right? Actually, I guess we're starting to learn some of that, but. I don't know. There's the cosmic long-term shit, and then there's the little weeny things we all get all worked up about. But it's the cosmic stuff that wins out in the end. That's what I say.
Yep.
Bobby, awesome. I love this kind of stuff. And if you're like Brian and I and you like additional science content, there's this show you do. And I'd like you to tell people about it so that it's hammered into their heads where to get it and how to get it.
It's called All Around Science. Me and my co-host, Maura, we talk about science every week, science stuff in the news. We actually just, the episode that came out yesterday, it's Valentine's Day today, so we did what podcasters like to do and themed our episode on a Hallmark holiday. and so...
love.
Well, what we did was, it's all science-y, right? And we could have gone the love route. But we decided, and there's plenty of science about love, but we decided to talk about hearts. And in particular, we invited both of our spouses onto the show who are both people in the medical field who are very knowledgeable when it comes to science and whatnot. So Maura's husband's a paramedic and my wife's a pharmacist. And so we talked about hearts, heart disease, heart medications, the kinds of things that you do, and what's going on with those medications, and how do they help the heart, and all this kind of stuff. So
very cool.
Nice. Wanted to share with the world the people that we love and how smart they are.
Yeah, take that, everyone. Whatever that means, take that. Well, that's great. As always, I love having you on. We'll do this again soon, like next Tuesday is the likelihood. And right. It's always good to have you on, man. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bobby.
Bye now. All right, Bobby has left.
Cool.
You know what that means?
What does it mean? What does it mean?
It means that we're almost done with the show here.
Oh.
I know. But we'll get over it. So will you at home. I'd like to remind you that if you like this show and you want to see it continue to just keep being on all the time, well, then you got to support us at patreon.com/TMS for as low as $1 a month. You can get all kinds of great benefits, including no ads ever. You get pre-show content every single day. You get art in the mail, couch parties on the weekend, and so much more. If you want to read about it more and find out why so many have joined, go check it out at patreon.com/TMS. And to those who are already here, you're amazing. And thank you for being who you are. We're going to keep tickets for TMS Vegas up for sale until the early part of April. So if any of you were like, I don't know if I'm, you know, did I miss out? Nope, they're still up there. They're up and available. Yeah. All right. VivaTMSVegas.com is where you get them. All the details are there. And there's still swag bag options available. We're basically at a point where I can estimate how much stuff we have to make. Mm-hmm. But we'll make sure there's enough overage for any extras who sign up late. So,
yeah, and I don't know how long the plaza will keep the room block code going. But you know, definitely when you book your room, make sure you use that code, just because it doesn't save you much money. I think just, you know, a buck or two, but it does help them identify that, oh, okay, we got a lot of people coming for this TMS Vegas thing. Let's give them lots of access to the stuff like the ballroom for board games and stuff like that. So
right.
please use the code. Go to VivaTMSVegas.com for all the information. Also, that's where you sign up for the video game tournament. I haven't looked to see what our numbers are like. But
oh, yeah. Be curious what it looks like compared to last time.
We're going
to
cap it at 64. Doesn't mean you can't come and play, but if you want in on the video game tournament, get in quick, because we'll cap it at 64 because it's just too much of a pain to manage people outside the initial 64 players.
Yeah. So. And the nice thing is that place is great for watching. So even if you're like, I don't really want to play, that's fine. You can wander around, have fun, watch, drink to your heart's content, or not, if you're me, whatever you want to do. All those details are there. You can find it all at VivaTMSVegas.com. And if you have any questions, email us and let us know. themorningstream@gmail.com. Send us your voicemails, texts, and otherwise to 801-471-0462. And I'll give one more pimp to our Discord, frogpants.com/Discord. Just want to see that place hopping. So head in there and add to the conversation today. We have very nice mods. So if you're a jerk, they'll kick you. Okay. Don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
The difference between social media and Discord is we have people who will kick you out of the house if you poop on our carpet. All right. That's the deal. Mm-hmm. All right, Brian, we're done. Let's do a song. We got to go. What do you got? What are we doing?
I've got something going out to Vaslos, who actually is in our Discord, said, figured with Valentine's Day coming up, it might be nice to send out one to all the wonderful folks who will be celebrating. That is all. Also, it might be appropriate to remind everyone how tasty sausage is.
Oh, geez. How ill-prepared is Scott is today's question.
Yes.
Sausage. We want the long one, I assume?
Well, of course.
I mean, what else would you even do?
The one that keeps getting longer.
All right. Here's, just for comparison.
Here's the short original.
Mmm, sausage.
All right. There's number one. Yeah. Now here she is all drawn out.
Sausage.
Yeah.
It's like, it is such a weird phenomenon. I will stand by the fact that it sounds like it gets longer every time I hear it.
It's never been longer than 5 seconds, yet I'm with you. It sounds like it every time. It
always sounds like it's longer. Even if you tell me it's 5 seconds, I said, no, that feels like it's 8, 9, 10 seconds long.
It's very weird.
It's a long sausage.
Yeah.
All right. So going out to Vaslos, he wanted to hear Rock Sugar and their cover of Shook Me All Night Long, You Shook Me All Night Long by AC/DC, mixed with Madonna's Like a Prayer. It's called Shook Me Like a Prayer. And that is exactly what Rock Sugar does. They create these heavy metal songs that are amalgamations of other heavy metal songs mixed with pop songs. It's great. They have two albums out, and this is from the first album, which is called Reimaginator. But seriously, both albums are fantastic. Here is Rock Sugar and their cover of a couple songs mashed into Shook Me Like a Prayer.
I hear This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
You excrement!